The National Pulse with Ashraf Garda. Weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m.
So I'm suggesting that South Africa are the champions of allowing multi-religious expression. I'm not saying we're perfect, we have problems. But overall, I think we do remarkably well. Do you agree with me? Do you agree that we actually allow, we open up spaces wherever we are in the country, and that's one of the great things about this country? Let me know. I'd love to know what you think, and you can do it in a couple of ways. You can call in 086-000-2032. You can WhatsApp, and that's text or voice notes, 0614-104-107. Simple, 0614-104-107, and 104-107 reflects to the meter band where you can catch us all around the country. And you can also tweet it out to the SAFM Radio presence on the X platform. So tag SAFM Radio, tag me, Ashraf Garda. Do use the hashtag The National Pulse. And you tell me, do you agree that we are the champions of multi-religious expression in this country, and we can stand head and shoulders above most countries, if not all countries in the world, in doing just that? And you tell me why. I certainly would love to know from you. Okay, let's talk about something that is particularly topical with regard to students in our country, and that is the issue of the student funding organization, ANISFAS. Now, understand that the Minister of Higher Education, Bladen Zimande, has dissolved the board of ANISFAS, saying it's a step towards saving and protecting the gains of our revolution. I'm quoting him, right? So what has happened now, Freeman Nomvalo has been appointed as the administrator of the scheme in the absence of this board, right? So let's understand and make sense of it, certainly not from what he thinks, but certainly from what the student organizations think. Now, Asibe Dlanjwa is the spokesperson for the South African Union of Students, and I certainly want to get my thoughts speaking to Asibe. I appreciate your time, and welcome to the National Pulse.
You and your listeners, and thank you for having us.
Thank you. Well, I would think either way, the dissolving of the ANISFAS board would get your pulse racing.
Not really. I mean, but I suppose it's something that we welcome, and I'll tell you why we have reservations. I suppose it's to the extent to which the minister wants to appoint an administrator, because our appreciation is that based on in the history and in the precedence of the times where ANISFAS would have appointed an administrator, there was never necessarily any positive development from that, nor, in fact, at times it would even exacerbate the situation. However, we must welcome the decision to dissolve the board purely on the basis that it was populated by incompetent people who were running the scheme to the ground. The crisis we find ourselves in is a direct result and a product of the incompetence that had been displayed perpetually and consistently by the board. So their dissolving speaks to, I suppose, a recognition of and a vindication of our stance, our long, standing stance that these people did not have the requisite capacity to be able to drive and ensure that this 50 billion rand scheme remains afloat and is able to respond to the needs and the challenges of the poor and the working class.
So, and when this scheme, as you call it, you know, ANISFAS was set up, right? I mean, what for you was the primary gain to come out of that scheme? And I take it that it's fallen very, very short of those lofty ideals.
Look, I mean, the scheme probably is one of the most flagship successes of the democratic government in our democratic dispensation, because the scheme was meant to broaden access into institutions of higher learning, particularly for the poor and the working class, who at one point, black students from a disprivileged background, who would have only consisted at one point of just a mere 5% of students in the entire sector, especially in universities, and now are sitting well over 70% to 80%. So it has been a huge contributor. We know of many professionals, doctors, teachers and nurses who are a direct product and investment of this particular scheme, who outside the scheme would not have been able to access institutions of Ireland. You've got institutions, for example, the University of Fort Hare, that has over 90% students that are funded by this particular scheme. So the purpose of the scheme is clear. The impact that it has made cannot be disputed. And this is why we are jealous of this scheme and felt that we needed to raise our voices and protect the scheme against vultures who see this as a quick, as a get-rich-quick scheme. Mm.
Has that in fact happened? I mean, the way you see that vultures have seen and actively been able to prey on this get-rich-quick scheme for, worth 50 billion rands, as you suggest?
Sorry, can you please repeat that question?
I was saying, I mean, you mentioned the scheme is now worth 50 billion rands. I mean, do you see that vultures have been able to prey on the 50 billion rands and been able to pocket and siphon money out of the scheme?
Absolutely, although not necessarily successfully, but the state of instability that we are seeing now was because of attempts to try and loot the scheme, and they failed dismally, and now we find ourselves where we are today. There has been, I suppose, a few instances, for instance, when university officials at the university at the WUSU, working with some of the service providers, siphoned out 12 million rand using a student. So there has been those cases here and there. There has been cases that have been investigated, for instance, by the SIU. There has been institutions, universities, for instance, that have sought to loot the scheme with the latest UJ having to pay back 300 million rand. So there has been a few attempts, and not necessarily, we would not say they were altogether successful, because the scheme still remains afloat and it's still been able to largely meet the needs of the poor and the working class, except for what is clearly incompetent at the level of the officials that are given some of these responsibilities to be able to ensure that they administer the fund in the best possible way.
Now, obviously, the Minister of Higher Education agrees with the incompetence that you suggest, because he's dissolved the board, right? But for you, what are the levels of incompetence that's come through for you that so disgruntles you and the student movement that you represent?
Look, the first one... there are two levels at the level of the incompetence. The first one is that you've got an executive leadership at NSFAS that is absolutely inept and absolutely useless. As we speak, by the way, at NSFAS, there's no CEO, there's no CFO, there's no CIO. And these are all, some of these people would have left because there would have been a compromise in some of the, in, you know, in shady behavior. But the bottom line is that... One, it is incapacitated. Two, of those people that are there, and they have displayed, even conceded to by the minister several times, they have displayed the highest level of incompetence. There is not a single stakeholder who has interacted with NSFAS, whether it be the student, whether it be the university, whether it be the parent, who cannot affirm what I am saying today, that they have some of the most useless people to ever walk the face of the earth, unable to respond to the needs and the challenges of students. So those are some of the, from the call center all the way to the highest office, it is just riddled with incompetence. So that's the first level of incompetence that we speak of. And then there's the level of, at the level of governance, where we see that there could have been a board that might have been put together without necessarily considering the highest level of skills and expertise to be able to provide the necessary governance and oversight. So that would be the second level of incompetence, which would have seen, which would have now resulted in the dissolution of the board, then failure, because the decisions that were, for instance, taken, some of them worth millions and hundreds of millions and billions, were overseen by the board. So it means that the board failed to provide the necessary oversight such that we find ourselves where we are today.
How, I mean, what would you therefore tell the Minister of Higher Education? I mean, Minister Nzimande is and maybe would be listening to the show right now, but he's been involved in that role for a very, very long time. So if you're saying that the board has failed dismally, I mean, somebody appointed the board and then allowed the board to run, isn't it?
Absolutely. We know, and one of the things we would probably tell the minister, for instance, is one is that you know, the minister must not, I don't know whether he must not be shy, or maybe we don't know whether it's deliberate or not, that we consistently appoint incompetent people to a point where it would suggest that incompetence is inherent to the human, because it can be possible that everyone who's appointed at NSFAS is not able to finish their term because of incompetence. So it means that we have perpetually and consistently made an effort to ensure that we employ some of the most useless people, because I can tell you for the last 7 to 8 years, there is probably not a single executive at NSFAS who's been able to finish their term, including boards for that matter. And why do they get dissolved? And it's because of incompetence. So one of the things we would say is that the skills are in abundance in the country of people who can take responsibility and ensure that the scheme is run in a manner that is effective. So that would be the first thing to ensure. We would say to the minister, he must ensure that he employs the most credible and the most qualified people, which has not been happening.
So, the second thing... Carry on.
And the second thing, there is a level of incoherence in the higher education sector. You've got an NSFAS, which is a public institution, that often pulls in one direction, and then you've got public institution universities that are often pulling at a different direction. We have had, for instance, institutions. Now, whether you think it was right or wrong, the implementation of the direct payment system, it was wrong for public institutions, universities, to directly sabotage the direct payment system through the withholding of information, etc. These are all things that seek to suggest that the sector is incoherent, and it would seem that the minister, if he's going to lead the sector properly, he must be able to find a manner in which he brings about coherence into the sector.
All right, so, so here's the last thing. We're going to wrap up now. I mean, you made a point about consistent appointment of incompetent people, and I'm quoting you directly. When I introduced the topic to you and I asked, is your pulse racing? And you were rather guarded about that, right? So therefore, you're guarded for a reason, for all the things you've just mentioned, right? What is the first issue you're going to look for in the appointment of the new board that will give you a thumbs up?
Look, the appointment of the new board probably will not happen in the next few months. But the most immediate thing that has happened is the appointment of the administrator. We have seen the administrator, for instance, we have reports of who is that person. And what we would expect from that specific person would be to bring about stability and restore the credibility of the scheme by ensuring that the right people are doing the right jobs. And what does that mean for the students on the university? It means we must have people who will ensure that the allowances of students are paid to students on time, and that the decision that had been taken by the previous board to get rid of the illegally appointed service providers using taxpayers' money are gotten rid of, and that we have a credible and an effective manner to distribute allowances to students.
That's an important wish list. Thanks for your time. I say amen to all of those things. Asibe Dlanjwa, the spokesperson for the South African Union of Students, reflecting to the dissolving now of the NSFAS board and the appointment of an administrator. There are problems there, absolutely.